Now this week in the will of the Lord, I want to take up with you the Feast of the Lord. I have been praying a great deal as to just what he would have us study together, and I am quite convinced that the Lord has guided to the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. As you leave this morning, if you care to, you can receive a copy of a little chart that I have designed that may help you and help us all together in our further studies this week of the Feast of the Lord. The chart may prove nothing more than that my artistic ability leaves very much to be desired. And this is the first time we've used this outline, and so any suggestions regarding it or criticisms or anything at all will be welcome, you can be sure, because we like to improve everything that we use for the Lord. So if you care to have one, I've asked our brother Otis back to see that each one receives a copy on the way out if you so desire. And I'm going to leave until our first morning session, Tuesday morning, an introductory description of the chart and a general survey of the feast. We'll leave that for them. And because this morning, inasmuch as it's the first Lord's Day in the new year, in the new decade, and the first meeting in that sense of the regular conference schedule here, I felt it would be quite appropriate to get right into the first of these feasts. So we will read, first of all, the first five verses of Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll just go as far this morning as we have time for. I very soon learned when I came to the Park of the Palms, you're forgiven for a great deal, but the unpardonable sin at Park of the Palms is to preach overtime at the 11 o'clock service, because people just don't like having a cold Sunday dinner. And the friends who prepared it down there in the kitchen don't like to serve a cold. Well, I don't want to commit the unpardonable sin at my advanced age, and so we'll be through in plenty of time for you to get your meal at the usual time. We'll just go as far as we can on this feast, and then we'll have feast down there for our physical needs. Leviticus chapter 23, you're reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, and holy convocations. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Now we turn to the great chapter, familiar I'm sure to most, if not all of us, where we have the Passover. The 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Let's read the first 14 verses of this chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor, next unto his house, take it according to the number of the soul. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, its head with his legs and with appurtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Of all the seven feasts of Jehovah that we will study together, this is the most familiar. You will find the word Passover, referring to the feast, 48 times in the Old Testament, 28 times in the New, giving, of course, a total of 76 times, and no other feast in the seven is referred to so frequently as this one. And it's not very difficult to see the reason for that. And, of course, thank God, it is, with many of its details, familiar to most of you this morning. It's so full. There's so many details that we certainly can't linger on all of them. But I would like to help us to center our thoughts this morning around four new things. Here we are beginning a new year. Here we are beginning a new decade. And I don't know whether there is in this part of the country or not, but there seems to be, where I have been since the beginning of the year, there seems to be sort of a spirit I don't scarcely know how to express it. Expectation is one thing, one ingredient of this spirit, but there's more than that. There seems to be amongst many a sort of a feeling that the decade of the 70s is going to be momentous. Now, I don't know why that is, what it is, whether there's anything to it or not. But I know that every one of us, as the Lord's people, we should enter on each new year, each new day, each new week, and each new decade with an expectation this may be it. And I think that every Christian instructed in the Word of God realizes what I mean when I say that. There is one hope ahead of the Lord's people is coming. It may be. I'm no prophet, nor the son of a prophet. I would never think of prophesying when the Lord is coming. But I do believe he may be here at any moment. He wasn't here the last moment. So the next moment is the only one he could come in the next moment. Personally, I know that if the Lord spares me to live out the decade of the 70s, there are going to be some very memorable occasions during that decade for me. I will have had the privilege of serving the Lord for 50 years if he spares me throughout the decade of the 70s. For this, I give very humble thanks. God saved me at the age of 19. And I remember when I first began a lifetime of service for him, I used to think something like this, wouldn't it be wonderful? Now that I've given 19 years of my life for the devil and the world, unreservedly, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to give the same amount of time to the Lord, unreservedly? Well, that time came and passed. To the goodness of God now, it's been 41 years. So you see, it's going to mean a lot in that. If he spares me to live out this decade, of course, I'd much rather go to heaven. If he were to come, one would gladly lay down the tools of service for him and go to be with himself. But here we have. Let's center our thinking briefly this morning, and we'll continue on tonight. Let's center our thinking of this very familiar feast here around four new things. They got a new start. They had a new substitute. They had a new sentry on guard for them. And they had a new supper institute. Now they got a new start. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So then it was our January. No, it wasn't. Oh, no. 6 months of the year had rolled their course. With all of those 6 months held for the Jew, those people down there in Egyptian bondage, all that had transpired of sweetness and bitterness, all that had been difficult, and all that had been delightful, it all had passed into history. God says, we're going to start all over again. And so those 6 months were wiped out. And when we look at these feasts in the setting of the 23rd of Leviticus, I think we shall see that dispensationally, God is teaching us through this feast of the Passover that all of man's 6 days of work, from creation right to Calvary, all went for naught. God says we're going to have to make a new beginning altogether. And it would remind us when we look at it evangelically, that when you and I come to Christ, and he becomes our Passover lamb, we get a new beginning altogether. And God blots out however many years we had in the past. There's a man visiting in the hospital one day, moving around just trying to be helpful, encouraging, came to the bedside of a man and said to him, is there anything I could do for you, sir? No, said the patient, I don't think there is anything that you can do for me. But can you undo something? Can you undo something? You could. Don't we often wish that some things could be undone? And wasn't there a time in our life when we long to have that guilty past undone, blotted out? How vividly that comes to me this morning, although it's 43 years ago. I look back over those years. They were blank. They were blotted. They were nasty. They were sinful. their wickedness. God says, I'll blot them out. I'll give you a new beginning. I said, Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want. And as you and I come, thinking now of this person, as you and I stand just across the threshold of a new year, the 60s are past. Just across the threshold of a new year, into a new decade. Isn't there something in your heart that maybe is like mine? Where we think of the words of the apostle, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark. I believe God can give us a fresh start in many ways if we just avail of ourselves. And so all this I see, as I hear the Lord saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. And how is that going to be? Because God was going to provide a way of salvation for us. There was going to be a new substitute brought in. We were reading about that substitute. We've read about it many times. Because they were going to come under the blood, under its sheltering, sanctifying, separating influence and effect, they were going to have a new beginning. Isn't that what's happened in our life? I trust it has in each one of yours. There's a dear brother, whom we all know, who's ministered the Word of God amongst the assemblies of the Lord's people for many years. His aged father hasn't been in the glory for a number of years. He was a godly man, his father, a very godly man, well known. But in those declining years, when his faculties were not as alert as they once had been, at times he would be overcome almost by a spirit of depression. And he'd pass through a period of time when his spirits would be low. And his son would often say to him, Father, what is it? What's troubling you? Oh, he said, son, I'm thinking of my past history. I can't forget it. And his son very wisely said to him, Dad, your history stops at the cross. Your history stops at the cross. It seemed to be what the old gentleman needed. And in his thinking from then on, so far as I know, he never went back past the cross. That's what you'll hear. God says, I'm going to put you on the blood. I'm going to shelter you by. I'm going to save you by. I'm going to separate you by. And that'll be a new beginning all together. And so right here, lying on the very surface of this familiar story, we have linked together indissolubly those two tremendous truths of the Bible, redemption and regeneration. You can't separate. You can't have regeneration. You can't become a new creature in Christ Jesus without being redeemed by the blood of Christ. And you can't be redeemed by the blood of Christ without being regenerated and becoming a new creature in Christ. So thank God for those lovely twin spiritual truths. Redemption through the blood and regeneration by the Spirit. Let's take a look at the familiar land. And as we look at the typical, I trust it will fade from our vision and we'll see the Lamb, the one we've been looking at already in our remembrance feast. Just to simplify it and help us possibly to remember it, may I give you very briefly just 7 thoughts regarding this Lamb, the substitute, that I believe everyone can be a finger post pointing to the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. First of all, this lamb had to be selected. Now, there were many lambs in the flocks there in Goshen, but that didn't do. Oh, no. This lamb had to be selected. You and I are living in these days when people are getting so broad-minded. We hear so much about there are many religions. There are many lambs, but there's only one lamb, which is it had to be selected. And my friend, let me just remind you again, in case it has never dawned on you, you've got to select the right lamb, or you'll never have a new start in Christ Jesus. But not only was it selected, it had to be suitable. Did you notice as we read verses 3 and 4, that three times over, they were to make their selection according. According, in verse 3, according to the house of their fathers. Verse 4, according to the number of the souls. And again in verse 4, according to his eating. So here's a lamb that had to be suitable to the household. It had to be suitable to each one in the household, and had to be suitable to the need that was in each one of those individuals. And they made their selection according to the suitability of the lamb. Now there's only one suitable lamb. There's only one will suit all mankind. There's only one will suit individual sinner. There's only one will suit that need that's in our hearts and souls. That's the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. They made the final selection according to their eating. That is, their consciousness of need. When you don't feel hungry at all, you don't generally go and order a large meal. You just want something light. But when you are conscious of a real hunger in your body and a need for food, then you order a good substantial meal. So that as we become conscious of our spiritual need, our need as sinners before God, we know the kind of a Savior that we need. I've heard of a man preaching the social gospel, telling of the example that there was in Christ. And in the outer ring of his audience, there stood a poor, fallen sinner. And as she listened to the story of the perfect example of Christ, given in his life, that the preacher said the men were to follow, the people were to follow. She cried out in her anguish, "Mister, I'm drowning, and your rope isn't long enough to reach me." She didn't need an example. She needed a Savior to rescue her. And we who know the need of our hearts, we know there's only one that's suitable, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only selected and suitable, but sufficient. If the household be too little for the lamb, but there's no mention of the lamb being too little for the household. There's no suggestion now, you're a large family, you'll need two lambs. Oh no. The only suggestion is, your household may be too little for the lamb. And thank God, no matter how great our need is, our lamb is sufficient. Not only that, but of course, as we're reminded in verse 5, it had to be spotless. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. And so Peter, writing long years after, could say, "Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And this one, the spotless one, of course, had to be spotless from the beginning. I've been asked again and again, but Mr. McKay, suppose when they got to the 14th day, the lamb had a blemish in it. What then? Ah, I said, but that had to be taken care of on the 10th. Oh, up until that time, it undoubtedly had no blemish in it. But that wasn't noticed. It was true, but it hadn't come to the, what we might call, a public attention. But on the 10th day, it's selected. For 4 days, it's carefully scrutinized. It's apparent to all that it is a spotless lamb. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely spotless from the time of his birth. But you have 30 hidden years there. Now, he's just a sinless lamb. That's when he went out in his public ministry. But for 3.5 years, approximately, he was before the public eye. And it was proven that he was spotless. And he could say, which of you convinceth me of sin? So that when the time came for him to be sacrificed on the cross, it was quite apparent to all that he was the spotless one. And of course it had to be sacrificed. The life, the life's blood in the Lamb could not shelter, could not save, could not give him a new beginning. But there must be that sacrificing of it. And in the will of the Lord, we'll take it up from there tonight, because there's so many precious details, even in this familiar story, regarding the sacrifice and the sprinkling of this blood and the fact that there was just this one lamb, that is, it's spoken of as one lamb. I'd like to have the Spirit of God impress some of these familiar things on our hearts afresh, and so in the will of the Lord, we'll continue from there. But let me just conclude to this. I hope that you're able to say, thank God, back in my life, there was a new beginning. I got a new start. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, God gave me a new start. And may we this morning, who look back with gratitude to that new start, may we this morning be able to say, as I have stepped across the threshold into another year, O God, give me a new start. Just a little more love, a little more devotion, a little more consecration, a little more dedication to him in that which lies ahead until I see his face. This month, January 19th, this month shall be the beginning of months unto you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, take thy precious word, we ask thee, impress it on each one of our hearts individually. Meet our need, Lord. Each one of us has a different need, and yet in the one sense all the same. We pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit may just apply thy truth to our hearts in that fearless name, the name of our Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.